Welcome to Keeping It Real, where we feature entrepreneurs who are passionate about their business and have shared their story in our guest blog series, shareyourstories.online. Today, I'd like to introduce you to Priya Mohan, who believes in sustainable fashion, has a partner in Delhi, India, and would like to introduce us to vintage fashion. Welcome.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's such a pleasure to spend some time with you today. You know, when I was reading your story in our guest blog, the thing that really caught my attention was your light bulb moment and the fact that you took this wonderful trip to India with your family and it started a whole new journey. So tell us a little bit about that.
Sure. So I had always wanted to take my kids to India. And so we finally managed to get organized on it. I hadn't been since I was 18 and my daughter, my youngest, was 18 at the time. And so we went to India as a family. We did a 2-week whirlwind tour of all of India. It was amazing, but I didn't have time to shop. And anytime I tried to shop, my daughters were like, we don't have time for you to be browsing through stores. We have sights to see. So I didn't buy any clothes. And when I came back home after that trip, I was kicking myself. I'm like, how does a person go to India and not even buy a sari? So I thought, okay, I'm going to have to go online and pretend that I bought one there and at least own one. Another one. I mean, I have my wedding ones, but you know, just something new. So when I went online, I love the fabrics, and I managed to find a woman in Delhi who actually won Entrepreneur of the Year in India for starting a whole upcycling process of gathering used saris from all over India, sorting them into categories by quality, and then finding new markets for them. So I started by thinking, oh, this will be great. Why would I buy a new sari if I could buy a vintage sari? And, you know, older silks are actually better quality than the ones that you get now. And at the time, I owned a business called The Pale Blue Dot, and it was all about sustainability in your lifestyle. And it was an evolution from a previous business I owned called Greystone Fine Furniture, which is about upcycling vintage furniture and adding that to your life. So this did seem like a natural progression. And so I decided I would look for a vintage upcycled sari, a vintage sari. But then when I got to thinking about it, I found so many that I loved. And I'm like, okay, I don't even know where I'm going to wear one sari. Where am I going to wear 10? And that's when I started thinking, well, what if I took this fabric and I turned it into something that I could wear every day? And that was kind of how this business started. I just thought, what would I like to see in my clothing? And what fabrics would I like to see? And I'd like to see them upcycled. And that was my light bulb moment.
So tell me a little bit about your partnership with the gal in Delhi, because, you know, it must be an absolute feat to have won Entrepreneur of the Year in her country, because, I mean, we can only imagine the competition we have here in Canada with our population base. There must be many amazing innovators in Delhi. So tell us a little bit about her.
I'm working with two innovators, actually. So the one who won Entrepreneur of the Year is the one who helps me source my fabrics. Her name is Jyoti. And so I actually work with two women. So I work with Jyoti, and she runs her own business in Delhi. She's the one who won Entrepreneur of the Year, and she's the one who sources throughout India and helps me find the pieces that I need. The other entrepreneur that I work with, her name is Anchal, and she also won an award. She's an award-winning designer in Delhi, and Delhi is a garment town. And the population of Delhi is the population of Canada, by the way. So when she graduated from college, her design school, she won Best Designer for Delhi, which is huge. Like, that's like winning Canada-wide here. But what made her entry so special was that she chose to upcycle vintage saris and create new clothing out of them. And this was back when she graduated. So this was before we were even doing anything with upcycling here in Canada. So she was very innovative for her time. And so we were a really good fit. She loves working with these vintage saris. She has an appreciation for them, which I think in India, they're only starting to develop an appreciation for the need to upcycle, to create less waste and pollution. They still see it very much as a status thing to own something new. Whereas here, we're starting to see it more as a status thing to be aware of the need to be environmentally friendly.
Yeah, be vintage, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I do work with two wonderful women who own their own businesses, but then they also employ men and women equally. And because I work with these women and we all share the same values of ethical treatment of our employees, I'm confident that they are getting paid. Everybody along the way is getting paid a fair wage. And I've visited India 3 times to set this up. And I, you know, thanks to technology and WhatsApp, I can talk to them all the time. I can see the people doing the work. It's for none sure. of it is kept secret from me.
So, you know, I'm sure that some of our listening and viewing audience would be interested in hearing if there is any challenges with import-export. So have you had any issues? I'm sure there's lots of stories, but can you share with us one story? Because, you know, that's really a huge feat, because I know the world has become a very small place, but it's still an import-export business.
It is. And so for exporting, luckily, I'm only selling my products within Canada. So it hasn't been hard. I still have to figure out, I'm trying to branch into the American market. So then I'll know more about exporting. Sure. Importing has been tough, actually, especially because in India, it's not really about having a set of rules and following the rules. It's about doing what it takes to get things to happen. Mm-hmm. So it's a very different way to what I'm hesitating as I'm speaking, because I don't know if people understand how things work in these other countries. Mm-hmm. So here, if I want to ship something, I would call DHL and I would say, this is what I need to have happen. Can you tell me what paperwork I need to fill out? I would fill it out accordingly and boom, done. Over there, you got to know someone. Unless you know someone and grease some palms, it's not going to go through. And even then, people who pay a little bit more money are given more priority, and lying about things helps paperwork go through. Like in order for me to get, like, cause I wanted to make sure that my business was very legitimate on our end. And so I was like, no, it has to actually have values on there that match the amounts of money that I send you. Like, it has to correspond. I appreciate you're trying to, you know, save me my customs and duties, but I don't want that because I'm going to get dinged later.
Yeah.
So even to actually have correct values on there was a struggle. Like you would, because it causes all these red flags to happen in India. And then they have all these new loopholes that are, hoops to jump through.
Sure.
So yeah, exporting is tough, tougher than you would think.
Well, you know, that's really important, because as part of, you know, any new business, I used to be a national buyer for Eaton's. So I sort of have a bit of an appreciation for all of the different bells and whistles that you're having and hoops you're having to jump through in order to make your business successful. But, you know, in the vintage market, you know, you mentioned something really interesting where, you know, the silks are really the thing that sets you apart from, you know, the designs that you provide. And I absolutely love the fabric that you're showing behind you.
Yes.
And the different styling, because it's really very cool. You know, we all can appreciate, we're all looking for vintage. I mean, vintage is pretty hot here in North America.
It is.
So you have an opportunity to really showcase some amazing fabrics. So tell us a little bit about the fabrics that you choose, because I know you're very selective.
I am.
With the vintage saris.
I am. And there are other companies there's a note on my screen. There are other companies that make things out of saris, but I think what makes us different is I do hand pick every single piece. And I pick the colors online. I stick to 2 fabrics that I know are really durable and easier to work with, longer lasting. And so I work with crepes. So this here, what I'm wearing here, is a crepe. It's not sheer. It's really durable. It's what they would make. Can you hear that? I don't know if you
yes,
can.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's a super strong fabric. And then the other fabric I work with is this here. It's a georgette. I don't know if you can see
nice
it, but it's sheer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and also really, really strong fabric. So I pick these fabrics, but I actually have somebody in India whose job it is to do what my mom or a lot of moms apparently do, which is go like this.
Yeah.
Because what's just as important as the color is the hand.
What makes
these silks so beautiful and draped so beautifully is the softness of the fabric and of the fibers. And you can get stiffer silks. Some of them are meant to be stiffer, like a tissue silk or an organza is meant to be stiff. So to make sure that I get the exact pieces I'm looking for, it's a 2-step process. First of all, it's 3-step actually, getting only those fabrics and then picking the right colors. And then the third step is having somebody do this to make sure that's exactly what it should be.
That's fantastic.
And then I choose. So the fabrics vary in age. Some of them you can very clearly tell are from the 90s. Some are from the 80s. You'll recognize all the same trends that were happening in North America. You'll see them in the fabrics. Like you can see a fabric from the 70s with a psychedelic print, right, or a fabric from the 90s with like a splash of neon in it. And it's kind of funny because it's kind of like when you look at a car, it has four wheels and, you know, steering wheel, and it's a car. But you can kind of just look at that car and know what era it's from.
Right.
And it's the same with these fabrics. You can tell. And it's funny because I'll sometimes put on Instagram, I'll be like, what decade do you think this fabric is from? And all these vintage store owners will come in and they'll pinpoint the decade because they can recognize the fabrics from the clothes that they're selling, which are North American based.
Yeah, you know, fashion is fashion, and you right. know, women are women, and we all share those same types of values and interests. So one of the things that we do in the guest blog is we share three words of advice.
Right.
And your three words of advice are connect the dots. So give us a quick overview of why you decided that connect the dots was something that you wanted to share.
So I didn't ever anticipate that I was going to be an entrepreneur. It wasn't... I'm a teacher. That's what I've been a teacher for 25 years. But I think if you want to know like how this business has developed, it really did come from connecting the dots. It was, you know, there was an awareness that we needed to promote sustainability. As a woman getting older, whose body shape was changing, I knew that I wanted clothing that was going to work with my body instead of me having to work with the clothing. So there was that dot as well. And then there was the whole idea of, using fabrics that were older, that had that charm, that were one of a kind, that let you express your artistic side. So it's almost like there were all these different ideas that I thought, these are all valid ideas. How do I connect them into something that resonates with people? And I feel like this brand does resonate. People tend to feel, you know, special when they get to wear a piece of fabric. And it is nice to think about the lady who owned the fabric before you and what was going on in her life when she chose that incredible print that you would never expect to see. So, yeah, I think it's connect the dots. Like the answers are kind of out there floating around. You just have to kind of grab at them and put them together and see how they work.
Right. Right. Well, I'd like to really thank you for spending some time because, you know, your Connect the Dots actually really talks about how we share our stories and makes it very real and tangible for all of us. So thank you very much for participating in today's series. And to the viewing and listening audience, I hope you've had an opportunity to meet the person behind the logo in this edition of Keeping It Real. Thank you.
Thank you so much.